Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. We thank him for it. Look, it's the easiest way to get parts. Y'all know this by now, please. Kevin, I got to tell you, man, I'm a little fired up. This one hits close to home, bro.
I'm more than fired up, dude. I'm like a rocket ship. I'm ready to fly. This is going to be, just kind of rip-roaring good time. I mean, this is a whole, like, crazy, fun, exploding space we're about to dive into.
Yeah, man. And it's throttle therapy. For any lunatic out there that knows... Like, me and my friends have certain things, right? We have dirt church where we get up early on Sunday mornings, and we're, like, wheels in the dirt, the mud, by 6 a.m., and we throttle as hard as we can till like, 9 or 10, till it's amateur hour, and then we scoot out. There are certain things that you do that is practice and just a blast. You got to love the fact that the man, the team that we're talking to, and it really is a team, you'll find that out, they get to do some of the funnest stuff and call it a career. It's one of the things that people dream of, man. It's like a dream job for people that love a little throttle therapy.
Well, there's like multiple layers there because we're talking about a couple, right? A couple. And I mean, for any, let's say, car guy, car girl, your kind of dream is to have that partner in crime doing the same kind of crazy with you. And here these guys are like lockstep, you know, playtime, work time, fun time. It's all mixed up together, and these guys are top of their game, man. So I'm just going to spit it out. This is Weller Racing, man. And these guys are just, they're having too much fun. I'm jealous. You're jealous. And I know everybody listening is going to be jealous.
Hey, and I tell you, man, for whatever reason, maybe their face is slender or something. A female looks so much better in a helmet. Dude's face is all crushed up. Looks really good. Talking like South Park characters, like, oh, sure. Can't hear nothing. Man, we look all stupid, fat cheeks. Female, just look how cute she looks in the helmet. Let's go throttle therapy style, go racing. I'm sure he'll agree. And you got to love the type of racing they're doing because, man, it is balls to the wall. It is absolutely some of the funnest stuff you could ever imagine. I can't wait to dive in because you're right, man. It is exploding. It is exploding format. I really expect there to be so much growth in this. It's just mind-blowing. I'm shocked that I don't have one of these toys right now.
Yeah, now we're specifically talking about, I mean, these guys are into everything off-road, just like we are. You know, we're super excited about it. I just picked up an almost new 2020 Husqvarna, a little FX350. I'm ready to get back on the trails. I've been hitting the wakeboard so hard the last few years. I am stoked, but this is four wheels. You know, and we got Jeeps, we got, you know, just general off-roading, we got rock crawling, and they've been in all of it. But right now, they are really dominating in this UTV space, man. I mean, and this UTV space is incredible. Everybody's headed there. You know, when I talk about picking up a new dirt bike, everybody's like, oh man, don't you want a side-by-side? I'm like, well, of course, you know, like everybody else.
You want to give me a side-by-side for a motocross bike price, chump?
Yeah, so it's a little harder to get into. So maybe we'll pick their brain a little bit on, you know, maybe some advice, you know, how to get in, what kind of rigs, you know, what kind of fun factor.
And I know, man, these things are taking over everything because I own a rock crawler. It's no Jeep. I got Kingpin 60 up front, 14 bolt. It's locked front and rear, winch front and back. It's on 40s. It's a bad bitch, but... Every time I'm at Moab or I'm in the Rockies doing my wheeling or down, you know, down south hitting up some trails, I can't help but notice how much fun everybody's having in the UTV world, man, and how easily they're making, you know, meat out of some of the toughest trails. It really is. It's awesome. And I love the fact that these things are growing, and hopefully it won't be too many more years, bro, before people like you and me on this tight budget we're on can afford some toys like this. That's all I'm saying. Just want to put it up there in case one of our bosses listen. It's only a matter of a few more years. A few more.
Oh man, that's right. Well, I mean, what you're getting nowadays for anybody that's been blind and not into the UTVs, you know, think back years ago and it was more utilitarian, you know, moving around hay bales on the farm, etc. But now you got a freaking trophy truck, you know, that you could just go pretty much buy. It's a slightly downsized version, but talk about the capability and the fun factor. I mean, it's full on, you know, Baja 1000 trophy truck, just shrunk down budget wise. But I probably even way more fun just because size
it is, man.
And scale and everything else, you know?
It is, man. Look, it's so much fun to make you yell out your PIN number. You're just in the middle of a trail, just yelling out numbers. Here's the deal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Weller Racing. Grab something to wipe the fun off, because you're going to need it when we get back. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we're back after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley. Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mental health.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. You been in that mobile experience yet? Dude, this is simple. This is easy. I'm telling you, if you're in need of a part, no year, make, and model, boom, you got your part dropped right to your door. Check it out, CarParts.com. All right, Bird, how do you know the Weller Racing Team? Because that's a big name in the racing world, man.
Oh, amen, it is. You know, God, I swear, it might go back 8-10 years. You know, time's flying by, but they're the two cats that I really enjoy trying to catch every year when we go to SEMA. They're always there. They're in some booth. Man, they're always just the coolest people, smiling, high-fiving, swapping stories. So over the years, they've just been like my kind of SEMA buddies, and I kind of keep track of them here and there, and excited to have them on the show, man, because they do, like you said, probably some of the coolest things you could think of in the world as their day job. They do it together.
Yeah, job.
Yeah, and they do it for play, you know? It's like 24-7 good times. Well, so we imagine.
Jason, you're killing me.
Yeah. So we've got Corey and we got Jason, and they're both just kind of dominant in the field, and together, I think, unstoppable. So guys, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for taking a break from all that fun.
Thanks for having us.
And coming on with this. So how did you guys, you know, get together, let's say, you know, as a couple, and then kind of formulate that, hey, we're into the same stuff and let's just kind of keep doing it?
I mean, that's easy. We met racing. So just right out of the gate, that I met him at one of my first races. And I think it was like one of his first races.
Yeah, we were racing at ATVs back in like 2001, I think.
Yeah, motocross.
That's funny. Motocross.
On four wheels.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So, I think it was my second race and her second race. And some of our mutual friends introduced us. And yeah.
Now, some of your first dates? Were some of your first dates on like quads and dirt bikes?
Well, I was unavailable at the time. I was going through a divorce, but we raced together for probably like a year. And just at the track, since it was motocross, the quad people all just kind of hung out together. We're like the redheaded stepchildren.
Oh yeah, I'm a motocrosser. Yeah. I understand that. There's a little division there.
We're always the guys like plowing over the ruts for the dirt bikes.
Yeah.
They got out early, even before us motocrossers. We do practice, and they send the quads out to bust up the chunks of mud and ice. You know, they send the quads out first, and we're like, "All right, quads, go do your part." Yep. as a motocross racer, but yeah, man, that's always cool. There's a big camaraderie in that world that people don't quite understand. And you didn't ask the big important question here, Bird, and that is, who won? Who won?
We're getting there.
We were in the same class too. I think we were both. I don't know. He probably won.
What do you mean, probably? I definitely won.
My man. Not after this episode.
I didn't even know how to ride yet. I hit the track and learned how to ride while I was racing. So yeah, he's probably right. He probably definitely won.
Jason, you probably figured it all out by now, but I'm just going to tell you there's winning the battle and there's winning the war. And you can win the physical race, but the war on your relationship.
Hey, man, she said she was going through a divorce. I thought she might have won. She might have whole shot at everybody, just been out there mad, dude. Call her Little Fury out on the racetrack.
We haven't figured out the war yet. That's still up for grabs.
Well, Corey, catch us up, because I know you used to run Pro 4. Mm-hmm. So that's the short course kind of off-road stuff. Was that Lucas Oil at the time?
It was, yeah.
You're running? Okay. I love watching those as a kid. You know, I still try to catch them. And then you moved down into kind of factory Yamaha. Now you're Can-Am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kind of got into the Pro 4 by racing UTVs anyway. And then the Pro 4 offer came along, and obviously I'm not going to say no to that. And, you know, we did that for 3 years, and, you know, UTVs is our wheelhouse. So got back into UTVs after the Pro 4 and have just been going hard ever since. So I raced for Yamaha 2016-2017 with the YXZ when it first came out. Won a couple of championships for them, and then went to Can-Am.
That's a bad rig, too. I love that
the
rig.
YXZ?
Yeah, man. That thing is wicked, dude.
It's great, especially for people who are coming off of a dirt bike or a quad. They love shifting.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it. And the paddles, the launch, you could hold them both, and you could rev it up, hit the floor, and it would bang like a rev limiter, bro. You could release both the paddles, and the whole thing just, boom, launches like a little cannon. That was one of the cool things. But you guys and who you're working with now, the baddest of the best, man. They're on top of the game.
Can-Am has been amazing. I was shocked because I think I'm going on year 5 with them, and I cannot believe how fast that's gone. Like, it seems like we just,
that,
you know,
Maverick
just
is
met
unreal.
Them all years ago. Yeah. The Maverick is amazing. I love getting in my race car.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's crazy. It's a handful of hold the hell on. I love it.
Well, how do you compare, you know, driving racing, kind of the Pro 4, you know, truck class? Maybe walk, you know, some of the listeners into, you know, how's that configured? You know, how much of it's just full on tube chassis? How much of it's, you know, sort of OE truck kind of base, and then getting into a UTV, they got to be completely different on just the whole experience. Which one did you like better?
They are so different. And the better is a hard thing to quantify, because I loved driving the truck when I was actually in the truck racing, which was a fraction of the time for that whole program, you know, with all the work involved. That was amazing. Like, that's just chaos and horsepower and dirt in your face and bashing, and it's just fun. It's everything that is short course. So I love that part about it. What I love about the UTVs is everything else is so easy with them too. So you get all the thrill of driving it, but maintaining it, building it, fixing it is just so much easier than something like the Pro 4, which is like a fully custom tube chassis, unlimited motor. Everything on that truck was a one-off. So it was literally a custom machine. So anytime you had to fix something or replace it or try to make it better, it was all custom work. And it was such a slow, expensive process.
So I got a question for you. Did you ever finish a Pro 4 race with all the body panels on? Because every time I've seen a race, it's like, they're just, you know, like they're just made to fly off. Or you guys are rubbing and bumping and smashing.
Yeah.
Is it possible to finish a race with everything intact?
It's pretty rare, but pretty much in your budget, when you're looking at like how much you spend on fiberglass for the year, you pretty much put a body for every race. So they're kind of like budgeted for it. And it's kind of like the deal. It's what the fans like and stuff. You could definitely like, you know, be a little bit more easy on it and get through the race without totally knocking a body off, but pretty rare for sure.
That's no fun. Yeah. And you can't feel it either. Like when you're getting close to somebody in a race, you know, you can't feel when your fenders are smashing into each other. There's no sense of that. So that's probably part of the problem. Like just, oops, there goes that fender.
Yeah. It's like the equivalent of tear-offs for your visor. Just, that's part of the game, you know, dirt's collecting, lose a fender.
$150 over there.
They got a hell of a duct tape budget. Hell of a duct tape budget for sure.
Towards the end of the season, Corey would be out there like, we can fix that and like ribbing it together and stuff. And
I'm all going to get my fender from Tech. I'm like, I can put this back together.
Zip ties and duct tape, baby. That's your number one friends. Now, Jason, man, you've been in K&M for a little while and you're doing the King of the Hammers. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. King of the Hammers, I've raced every year since 2016. It's just, for me, that's what I look forward to every year. It's a challenge. It's a combination of rock crawling and desert racing and almost like man versus machine, you know, because it takes a lot of patience and a lot of preparation. And sometimes, you know, you just hit it just right and you can get right up the rocks, or you miss it just right and it just ruins your day. So it's really cool. Hopefully, you know, one of these days I can win it. This year, actually, Corey's going to race with me. So she's going to be my co-dog doing the navigation and stuff. So I think it's going to test more than machine, maybe like relationship test also.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't even go to like visit grandma with co-driving and map reading and
hell has frozen over.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever made it through an IKEA, the whole store without a fight? Because me and my wife can't do that. I feel like if you can do that, then you guys are going to be okay in the navigation part.
We might need to do that for some pre-training.
Right, right.
Yeah, there you go.
It's definitely going to be interesting. Like when we go to the dunes, we can't ride with each other. We both have to have a car and drive by ourselves. You know what I mean? So we'll see how it goes.
There literally is no co-driving with us. Like I will not ride with him. He will not ride with me. So we've always had our own vehicles.
Is that competitiveness? Is that just, I can't sit still. I got to be.
She just takes really bad lines.
Oh, that's so not true. For me, it's a control thing. Like I'm just, if my hands aren't on the wheel and I'm not the one controlling that machine, I'm usually terrified. So
yeah, probably the same.
Yeah.
Hey, it is much scarier, especially when you're rock crawling and doing stuff like that. It's a lot scarier in the passenger seat than it is the driver's seat. The driver's seat, you understand what the vehicle is doing and you're asking it to do. The passenger seat, you're just flying blindly. You're just like, dropping curse words and trying to follow the map. You know,
I have a feeling her eyes are going to be closed half the time.
I'm going to just be like eyes shut tight on all this deep stuff.
I'll wake her up to go do the winching and stuff. And then otherwise she's going to be eyes closed.
You might come out the other end though with like breaking through, you know, like you just kind of have so many hours in the co-pilot seat and it just somehow you just burst through the other side and you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
I could do this, but, you know?
Yeah.
But you're in an environment that you can't practice. Like King of Hammers and that, there's not a practice. You might be able to blindfold yourself and you know, tackle an 8-story parking garage as something adequate, but there's nothing you could do to practice for that. So I imagine those obstacles and the speed and what you need to communicate and how all of that's going down is going to be completely new to you guys and definitely a big challenge for the both of you as you try to navigate that in the pressure of a race.
Yeah, I think Jason, I think we need to give him a mute button so that he can just mute me.
No, I could see that.
I agree with that.
That might be a very smart thing to put in there. Yeah.
I think things are just going to come out of my mouth that shouldn't, and he just doesn't need to hear that. So just mute. Yeah, just
turn it down.
Each of you probably needs the button because you might, you know, you might see it coming, Corey, and just mute yourself. And then you might just, you might want to bury it in his ear, and then he might want to mute you. So,
yeah.
You know, there might be some double filtering there.
Yep.
I think as long as the race goes well, it'll be good. But it seems like whenever stuff goes wrong and it's between like husband and wife, that's when it like gets worse and worse and worse. So we'll just have to see how it goes, I guess.
Well, we're all like wanting to take away at the end here, you know, the culmination of like fun factors. And again, like how much do we want our significant other involved? Because it sounds so awesome. And you guys are always, when I run into you, you're always, you know, smiles from ear to ear. You know, they might be fake and whatever else, but, you know, you really put on the persona of what an awesome team and doing it together in partnership. So why don't we take a quick break, Will? You got a throw out question for when we come back?
Yeah, I do. I got a couple of them. And obviously, Jason's learned the secret of any happy marriage is just follow the lead. You're married. You have the opportunity to do anything and everything that she tells you to do. So, you know, it's just one of those things, man. It's the joy of being married. It's like having a best friend that doesn't listen to anything you say. All right, no, you guys are going to do fine. Here's the deal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, he's going to tell us about what was considered about 4 or 5 years ago as the world's most, how do they describe it? Lawless vacation spot. The world's most lawless vacation spot. Where is it? And what do these two have to do with it? I'll tell you a little bit about it. Coming up, Two Guys Garage Podcast. Kevin Byrd, Willie B. We're back after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Byrd. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. We thank him for it. All right, we have the Weller Racing Team. Google them, find them. And I got to tell you, when I read some info about them, one of the places they like to go blow off some steam and have some fun at was voted one of the most lawless places on earth to visit or to take a vacation at. One of the most lawless places that you could ever go and, well, ride and enjoy some motorsports at, and that place would be Glamis. If you don't know about Glamis, then turn off the podcast and go to your room. I can't, you don't need to be here. But if you do know about Glamis, you probably saw a bunch of it on the old videos of Krusty Demons of Dirt or something like that. Some old school stuff, but it is, oh man, it's on the California-Mexico border. It's like, it's heaven. It's better than heaven. It's as far as you can see in sand dunes. Sand, baby, the finest sand. It is like miles of dunes and glory. Tell us, how did you get or hear about Glamis? What was the first time? And what's some of the funnest stuff you've ever got to do in Glamis, man?
I actually went to Glamis before he did, right before I met him. And I loved it. And when I met him after we had gotten together, he was telling me about his dunes that he goes to. And the dunes are so cool. And I was like, the only dunes I'd ever been to was Glamis, right? And
that's the real deal there.
His dunes are in Safford. And it was a dune. And
a dune. That's quite cool. A dune you got there, but
yeah, it was quite the dune. And I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, we had the weekend there. I'm like, but you need to come see like my dunes. Like, come see my dunes. And then he came to Glamis with me, and we've been going for 20 years ever since.
Glamis is amazing. Yeah. It's got the whole package, and what makes it cool is this show. You know what I mean? So you can just you can sit there and just watch people. Oh. And just,
the you know what show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not only that, the dunes are so massive. You can just get on a roll. You know, if you're in a quad or a UTV or something, you can get on these bowls and just cruise for all day long and make a whole day of it, and then get with your buddies and make a weekend of it. And at night you camp in the campgrounds, and it's just a whole experience. It's just, you're just soaking it in the whole time.
It's the world's best roller coaster that you control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is.
And there's,
man,
no speed limits.
I've been down there. Oh, no speed limits. It's, and it is massive, y'all. It's far as the eye can see, massive, big sand dunes. And some of them are enormous, and there's places that people always go to, Competition Hill and all these crazy other places. And there's this crazy thing called the Glamis Candle, and some dum-dum will build and light up the whole desert, and everybody's partying until the wee hours of riding. It's just an absolute blast. It's really cool. Big weekends are always like Thanksgiving weekend, New Year's, Easter. But if you go on an off weekend, you're guaranteed to have a blast. There's always people there. And it's some of the craziest, funnest, most unbelievable riding you could do in any application. Doesn't matter. You can go out there, whatever you want. Just have some big paddle tires on it and some buddies.
Yeah, and we started a lot of people will go, like, now we have a nice rig and stuff that we go in, but we started out tent camping.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, in a tent.
Yep.
And just every year, you know, we'd like progress. Like, now it's a tent on a trailer. Oh, now it's a box trailer with no windows, you know? So we just kind of, yeah, you can have fun in it with nothing but a bike and a truck, and just go out and rip around.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no limit to the stupidity that some people bring. Like,
agreed,
you said, it 100%. Makes the show that much more interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Every kind of engine and anything you can imagine that could be in the sand is out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, I seen a guy a few years ago racing a couch.
Yeah.
You know, the drags?
The drags.
He had a couch. It's a drags. He was racing a couch with a motor on it.
They got snowmobiles out there, too, in the sand.
Yeah, there's snowmobiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an insane, cool place. I recommend it for anybody that's got something that's got a throttle. You're going to have a blast in it. Go check it out. Hey, when you look at racing, man, whether it's just as a person or as a competitor or even as a couple, what would you say for people out there? Because nowadays racing, there's so much fidelity involved, regardless of what it is, whether it's side-by-sides. Obviously, you know, each class and each thing that you race has all this stuff you got to do, and the series you got to run, and points, and you got to get this license and that license. And you almost sometimes forget, you can go to a normal track on a testing tune, and there's some guy who ran his first, 13-second pass or 10-second pass, or he got under the 10s. And here's this guy who's loading up on a single trailer in a pickup truck with a little toolbox, and he's the happiest man on earth. And there's guys that are complaining about everything underneath the sun, loading up in their big rigs with the dual haulers and stuff. Some of that is lost in racing. It's cool that you guys live that, but also love it.
You know, every day we tell ourselves, like, it's crazy that we're making a living doing this. And our business is all side-by-sides also, you know, so that's how we've made it work. But we like to have fun. And I think we've been doing it so long. And I think that's what the Pro 4 taught us, and kind of why we got out of it was just, it wasn't fun. And to go out there and be able to spend a weekend with your friends and race and have fun, I think that's really what keeps us going.
Yeah. Sometimes the bigger your program is, the bigger sponsors you have, it's more expectation, it's more work, it becomes a job.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned something that's fun, that you now do a business, right? You molded your business after what you're racing and what you find fun. And in those world of UTVs, man, that's a crazy world. It's kind of exploding right now. How does your guys with K&M, how do they stay on top of the game? And where's the ceiling? What are these things going to be like 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? Because these things are coming out with now in 2022 models are insane compared to just 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely blown up. You know, we've been in the industry since they came out in like 2004, you know,
Rhinos.
So seeing all the vehicles and where it's been and the ups and downs, it's definitely up right now. And I don't see it slowing down. And as far as us working with Can-Am, it is really nice to work with a company that they welcome competition, and they're really good at what they do. And they know they have a really good vehicle. And every year they're asking, you know, what they need to do to fix it. And they're upgrading little things, you know, and making it better for the end user. And it's better for all of us, you know.
Did you get to see that Maverick when it first came out, when you guys saw that? Were you one of the first years that thing came out? Because that really was a completely reinvented platform when they dropped that and decided to really get in the market hard. Everybody was shocked when that thing came out.
The X3 was sexy. I was just all black, and I was like, oh.
Plus all the power it has and the suspension, the travel. Like every year, you know, like back in 2015, you raced King of the Hammers. It was like in a Rhino, you know,
or something.
It didn't have any suspension. It was hard.
26 inch tires.
I feel like every year now they're having to make the course harder because these vehicles are just so much travel and so much horsepower, and they're capable of doing it that it's just making it easy, you know. So it's awesome.
Well, you guys are working kind of in parallel. I mean, Willie just mentioned you guys kind of wrapped your business around it. I mean, you are making all the performance parts to go on these UTVs for all the different brands and whatnot. So, I mean, you got everything from exhaust systems and turbo kits and upgraded wheel hubs and you name it. So you're kind of helping drive this whole scene, right? You get people amped up, you get people more capability, they get more hungry, they want more. It just continues and continues, and people get all excited and hopefully grow that segment.
Well, like with the auto industry too, the bigger the aftermarket is for that particular vehicle, the more people want that vehicle. You know, the more hop-ups there are for it, the more attractive it is. So I think OEMs and the aftermarket companies, you know, we need each other to propel it even further.
You preach it, girl. You preach it. Mm-hmm. That's gospel, y'all. Pay attention. Amen. Amen. She's not lying. And you look at what's the future, what's down the road. I mean, these things are unbelievable now. What's next? What do you feel like is the next evolutionary leap for these things? More suspension, more tire, more horsepower? More stability control? Like, what do you think? Where's it going?
I mean, Polaris just released a new Pro R that's a 2 liter. So it's a naturally aspirated 2 liter. Everything to this point has been 1,000 cc and under. So it's exciting. It's definitely, you know, it's new, and I'm excited to see what other manufacturers have to compete with that. And it just one ups the bar. So I think definitely performance, you know, obviously, suspension. I think they have a lot of travel, but maybe just, you know, more
refined.
Yeah. And like electrically controlled and more end user ease and stuff like that.
What do you recommend for people? Cause you know, there's so many of us sitting on the sidelines thinking, man, I really want to get into this. You know, I got to save a few bucks. I got to take out a loan. What's it going to take? So what kind of recommendations do you have for maybe kind of getting your first purchase, getting out on the trail, what maybe even, you know, renting your first kind of rig to see if you like it?
That's always a really good idea. If you have no clue what you want and you really don't, is to be able to drive a few different models and see what fits you and what you're kind of help mold your expectations a little bit. If you do sort of know what you want, like a lot of people run with a group, right? Like they have all their Can-Am friends, or they have all their Yamaha friends or their Polaris friends. It's a little easier that way because you have a whole group of people that can help you out with that decision. But mostly it's, yeah, if you can get your seat, if you can get your butt in the seat and go actually physically drive something like any other vehicle, that's definitely going to help you. And then obviously just what kind of riding you do and what you like.
I'd say
buy an older model maybe.
A lot of stuff's based off of like 64 inch or 72 inch. A lot of the different manufacturers have those two model widths basically. So back Midwest, you know, if there's a lot of trails that are 64 inch, you probably want to go with like a 64 inch, start there and see what 64, pretty much like Can-Am, Polaris, Yamaha, all have setups for both, you know? And then, yeah, what kind of riding do you do? Do you do trails or do you do sand dunes only? You know, at the dunes, it's hard to beat the Can-Am and the Polaris does well out there too. You know, in the tight stuff, you know, you may want like a dual sport, you know, like a Commander or like a, even like a utility vehicle, if you're doing some utility dual stuff. So.
Well, and affordability wise, dual it's sport. Like the used car market too. I think that you can save a lot of money if you get a decent used vehicle, but you need to know which models are good used and which ones to stay away from. And that's a little riskier, but it does save you money.
Is there something to look for in each of the models that a guy looking at a used one may want to check in certain
Yeah, and
models?
That's kind of where the internet comes in handy, I think. You know, especially with forums and social media and stuff. I think there are certain years of certain manufacturers of certain models that were duds, and they're probably getting sold really cheap. And then, you know, there's probably really good ones that it's a no-brainer, go buy that used if you find it. It's just a matter of educating yourself and getting, you know, on those forums and filling yourself with information to be able to make that decision.
Yeah, my buddy tried to sell me a Polaris the other day, 900 non-turbo model. And I'm like, come on, cuz, how are you going to have me last, running last out there getting drugged? <I'm> like,
yeah, I mean, some of those older models, like the Razor 800, that thing was pretty solid. You know, I've seen some guys that have a lot of miles on those things. It definitely, the more power you get and the more suspension you get, you know, you're kind of wearing out stuff sooner, you know, so.
What are some of your top upgrades that you guys recommend? Because you sell, you know, so many different offerings. And clearly it depends on what you're doing. But I mean, just like, you know, maybe your first kind of upgrades, what's kind of the typical? Is it just tire? Is it the shock? Is it, yeah, you know, so, lights?
So like our business does a lot of Yamaha YXZ stuff. That's what we do mainly. And I would say one of the first things they do is exhaust and probably shocks. We can go in the shocks and we do like different springs and internals, make it ride like cushy and kind of soak up a lot more stuff. When they deliver them from the manufacturer, they're catering to a whole wide range of people, and we can take and set up your suspension just for you. And it makes it, you know, if you're a young guy that's jumping it or an old guy that's wants to go 3 miles an hour, we can cater it to you, you know? So I'd say that's what we do a lot of. And then we have like tie rods and a lot of bolt-on stuff. You know, it's cool because a lot of people can buy these and then just buy stuff, you know, Christmas presents or upgrade stuff. And it's all tailored off of our racing.
Jason, you forgot the biggest demographic out there, bro. Old men that want to jump it. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Just thinking about yourself, man. Thinking about yourself again.
I have a few customers right now that totally come to mind that fit that exactly.
That's what outties me.
I was just saying both ends of the spectrum. Because we have a.
I got you, man.
What's cool is all our parts. You know, it started as us racing, mm-hmm. and then we would break those parts.
We found the weak points.
And then we would start making those parts for us. And then other people saw them and wanted those parts. And then that's why we started building those parts for other people. And that's basically what we do.
The irony in that is racing, when you get down to it, is a continuous search for the weakest link. And you guys made a company supplying the weakest link replacement parts.
Yes.
You guys are brilliant. You're brilliant. Where do people find you socially? How do people plug into everything Weller Racing?
We're social media, like Instagram, Weller Racing, Facebook, just search Weller Racing, WellerRacing.com, and YouTube Weller Racing. So Corey and I are both on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. And pretty much every day we're posting stuff we do in our lives. And
your UTV stuff, where do people get more about that?
WellerRacing.com is our website. You can buy all the products we make on there. Yeah.
Yep. Has all our products.
Awesome, man. Well, I wish you guys the best. I got to tell you, man, about this King of Hammers, bro. Jason, you got to know, man, women remember things that haven't even happened yet. So go over your lines, your track, make sure you got everything, make sure you present her with the coffee and a tumbler each day, you know, all those things. And it smells like lavender inside the rig the whole time.
It's soothing, right?
Yeah.
It's calming.
I think with Corey, you know, with the racing and all the stuff we do together, I think she's missing some of those like very feminine requests, you know? So I was like, instead of this, you know, maybe like we'll do some stuff on your race car or something. So
yeah, that's a sign she's hit her head too many times. She suffered a roll cage concussion when she starts asking for that stuff. All right, man. Well, hey, we appreciate it. Weller Racing, on all the social stuff. That's where you can see all the stuff they're manufacturing, making, and then cheering them on for all the exciting adventures they got going on as well. Don't forget about our show. It airs weekends on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. Also available on Motor Trend Streaming, which is a great way to find us. Thanks to our guests, Jason and Cordy Weller. Go find them, Weller Racing. My man, Kevin Bird. I am Willie B., our producer, Scoop, and executive producer, Bob Ecker.
Yeah, and check us out at twoguysgarage.com and share your thoughts with us on social. We're everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Two Guys Garage. Now, the Two Guys Garage podcast, it's a copyright 2021 Britain Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved. I told you I was going to be fired up. I'm going to end fired up. Man, yeah. I got to get my dirt bike out and throw some dirt around.
Have you gone to the Hammers?
Yeah, man.
No.
You
I'm so
there?
Far up in the, I'm in Detroit City, so man, that's a long journey, but it's on my bucket list. King of the Hammers and Glamis.
Yeah. Should be 100%.
Two.
You can combine those trips.
You can.
They're very close together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like 2 hours apart.
I'd have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I could imagine the sand and dirt in your butt crack for those 2 weekends.
And we both have extra passenger seats, so you guys can ride.
Right. That'll give you a place to sit when I'm driving. Oh, shut up. Y'all get out of here. We'll catch you on the next Two Guys Garage podcast.
Thank you, guys, and everybody out there. Take care. We'll see you on the next Two Guys Garage podcast.
Two Guys Garage podcast is a production of Britain Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.